Glad to be here this morning. Thank you for being here with us. Pastor John is in Wisconsin today. He actually officiated a wedding yesterday for his cousin. So he asked me if I could preach today, and I said, yes, it'll be an honor for me to be here. And I just want to say thank you for coming, and everybody have a wonderful day. I'm just kidding. My name is Al Borja, for those of you who don't know me. I actually serve in the leadership team of the church. And this morning, if you have your Bible with you, would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be going through a series called Storms in Our Lives. And we have learned that every person, regardless of their spirituality or lack of, has storms. This morning, we're going to look as Jesus continues teaching on how to handle storms in our lives, specifically in those times where things just didn't make sense. Times where your problem seems so big and your faith seems so small. Times where you felt so swamped and so afraid that you were going to be taken over by the storm. Let me tell you about Glenn. Glenn was taking the state Texas bus driving test. The state trooper was verbally asking him possible scenarios, how would respond to each one. You're driving a semi-tractor trailer loaded down with 40,000 pounds of bananas. You're traveling through the mountains of Colorado and headed down a very steep grade on the final leg of your trip. It's been a long day and trip. You're exhausted from driving. Your brakes overheat and no longer work. You have just passed the only emergency area where you can safely stop the truck. After passing through a series of sharp curves, you see a railroad truck ahead with a long freight train headed to the place where you will crash into it. What do you do? Glenn thinks for a moment and says, I will wake up David. David? Who is David? And why would you wake him up? Glenn says, David is my brother asleep in the back. He ain't never seen a wreck like he's about to see. You know, storms happen in our life. I just hope that yours is not as dramatic as David. Everyone will face the storm. It's not if, but when we face the storm. There are three things about the storms in your life. You will either be going into one, you're probably in the middle of one, or you'll be coming out of one. The storms in life will come. If not, just let me ask you, have you ever experienced a storm in your life? At one time or another, we all experience storms in our lives. Perhaps you're in the middle of one right now. Maybe it's a storm of sickness or depression. It could be a financial situation or some sort of strife in a relationship. The first thing you must know is this. Trouble comes simply because we live in a world filled with tribulation. Storms are a way of life. There will never be a year that will go by without a storm. And the same goes for our Christian life. Storms are going to take place, but it's how we react when they come. How do you deal with storms? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here, Lord. Gather in this place to bring your praise and give you an honor, Lord. Lord, those are a great reminder that when we go through storms, you tell us that we need to come and ask, seek, and knock on your door to find a way out of the storm that we go through. So with those words, Lord, we want to commend this day to you. We pray, Lord, that you be with us this morning. And we're going to thank you for what you're going to teach us this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get a background on this text here. Although it was spoken almost 2,000 plus years ago, these words have never been more relevant than they are today. These six verses conclude Jesus' teaching on the standard he had just set for the kingdom. This standard he called for are clearly beyond consentment, human performance. So he revealed that God will give whatever is good to those who keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. This suggests that God will give whatever is needed to those who have faith to ask for it. It also suggests that once you have asked, that you seek in faith that God is giving it. And when you believe you have found it, knock to see if that door God is opening to you. Now, I want to clarify something here. Jesus here is talking about coming to him in faith. And we see this in verses, a promise that God, that if we come to him in faith and ask, he will hear and answer. Remember what he said? He said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door should be open. Now, on the surface, that sounds wonderful. And it's the basis for a lot of name it and claim it theology, which simply says that all you have to do is ask God in faith, and God will give you whatever you want. But that's not what Jesus is teaching here. This is not an unconditional promise that will turn God into a cosmic machine, a vending machine that you can just put your quarter in and will dispense whatever blessing you desire. No, what Jesus is teaching here is what we need to do in order to deal with the storms in our lives is that we must remember to have faith in Jesus. Even if everything is going great right now, I want you to remember to have faith in Jesus. Because the storm will come. It only takes a split second for everything to be changed. For everything to be upside down. Maybe you lose your job. Or a family member is in a serious accident. Or an earthquake rips apart your house. You can fill in your own storm, because the list can go on and on and on. So what does Jesus mean when he says, ask and receive, seek and find, knock and it will be open? Jesus tells us that we are to ask. Now, asking is an expression of your wants, needs, and desires to God and directs your attention to God for his divine intervention for support, supply, and salvation according to his promises. We are to ask and seek. Seek is an act of actively looking for something that is lost, hid, or misplaced. We are to ask, seek, and knock. Knocking is the proactive approach with the desired outcome of entrance. We must learn to knock at God's door in times of life's storm and pursue Jesus through asking, seeking, and knocking instead of relying on ourselves to get through the storm. We need to come to God. If we start relying on ourselves, we're not going to make it. We need to put our trust and faith in Jesus to see us a way through the storm. If you're going to obey this passage, you are going to need to ask for, seek for, and knock on the door for God's help. James 1:6 says like this, but when you ask, you must believe and no doubt, because the one who doubts is like the way of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. These commands are present active imperatives. What that means is, Jesus is telling that even though you go through the midst of a storm, you need to continually come to him, and you're asking, and you're seeking, and knocking, and not to rely on yourself. Let me tell a story about my storm. Not too long ago, I went through a storm. Prior to me giving my life to Christ, I was in the real estate business. I was making good money. Everything was going perfect. I had a great house, beautiful wife, beautiful kids. Everything was going fine. Just to understand a little bit here, I was introduced to Jesus when I was a teenager. So we can say that I knew about Jesus. But when everything was going great in my life, I was in control. Jesus was not in control of my life. So when the storm hit, I was not prepared. Okay? So I was trying to fix everything on my own. I was relying upon myself to fix everything. Well, things started getting worse and worse and worse. And I was still trying to fix it. It got to a point when actually the storm took over. The storm was actually running my life. And one of the breakdown moments that I had, I actually went down on my knees and I prayed to Jesus and said, "Lord, help me. I don't know what to do." And in that breakdown, I heard God, not in that voice, but in my mind telling me, "I am God and you're not. You're here to worship me and glorify me, not you. I know how to run your life better than you can." And at that moment, I asked for his forgiveness. I repented for my disobedience towards him. And I started seeking him and started knocking on doors to see what doors God would actually open for me to see my way out of the storm. You see, sooner or later, we're all going to face storm or trial in our life. It is not if, but when we face the storms. Often we're in the midst of a storm, our tendency is to rely on ourselves and get stressed. Instead, Jesus here encouraged us to ask, seek, and knock. And the biggest dangers we face when we are caught in the midst of the storm is that we don't ask at all. Jesus told us to ask, but often we just plainly disobey this commandment, just like I did. Why is that? James chapter 4, verses 12, 2, it says like this: "You do not have because you do not ask God." Why don't we believe that we can ask and receive, seek and find, knock and walk in? Well, Jesus says our trouble is that we don't really understand the Father. We need to trust that God, our Heavenly Father, desires to provide what we need. It seems that one of the worst places to be during a storm is the point where you realize that you don't have control anymore. Just like I did. I wasn't in control anymore. The storm took over. But when the storm of life comes, you may find that your life is driven by the storm. You thought you were in control. You thought you could make all the decisions. Only you come to a place that there aren't any good decisions left to make. Let me tell you what a storm is not in your life. It does not mean that God does not love you. It does not mean that God is angry with you, or that he's playing with you, or that he's paying back at you for something. God is not toying with you. Sometimes the storm that happen in your life are self-made. But many times it's just the storms that happen. And trying to analyze what happened or assign a blame is a fruitless activity. We live in a fallen world. And Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, God, good and bad things happen to all. The important thing is that we are to prepare for them. You can prepare for stormy storms by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you do what he promised you this, that whatever you ask for, God will give it to you. Whatever you seek, God will help you find it. Whatever door you knock on, God will open it for you. Isn't that a great promise? There's another way God works in your life in stormy times. He puts the right people in the right place at the right time. Look at verse 12 again, what he says. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. If it wasn't for that word in everything, we might conclude that verse 12 is disconnected from the previous verses. It almost seems as though Jesus changes the subject entirely. But in everything tells us that obeying the command of verse 12 is a logical response to what Jesus taught in previous verses. So how does it fit in? How does it fit? As you know, this is commonly called the Golden Rule. It is the greatest principle ethics ever spoken. The law and the prophets is another way of saying Old Testament. So Jesus is saying all the commands in the Bible related to human relationships can be fulfilled by treating people the same way you want them to treat you. It boils down to this: love. Listen to Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Let not debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. I was reading a story about Philip Yancey, which tells the story of a Dr. Paul Brand, who has devoted his life to treating leprosy patients in India. In the course of one examination, Brand laid his hand on the patient's shoulder and informed him through a translator of the treatment that he was just about to receive. To his surprise, the man started shaking with muffled sobs, basically started crying. The doctor, surprised, said, "Have I done something wrong?" Brand asked the translator. The translator quizzed the patient. "No, doctor. He says he's crying because you put your hand on his shoulder. Until he came here, no one has ever touched him." The compassion of Christ in us is evident by a touch, a kind word, a kind deed, and a kind hug, a smile, a loving look, and etc. The compassion of God's people in the church makes Christianity very special and very appealing. There are times in life when you may seem overwhelmed by the storm of troubles or your life, and you need help. As minimum, you need people who will sympathize with you. People who will exhibit compassion. Compassion and sympathy should be a big part of your life as a Christian. You should be quick to feel for others. Whenever Jesus saw hurting people, he had compassion. And this is the one thing that made Christianity very special. The church is a hospital for hurting people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the love of Christ." In times of life storms, God will put people in your life at the right time and at the right place who will be with you through the storm. And in those times, pursue Jesus by doing good to others versus taking care of yourself only. So instead of taking of yourself, try to share that love with others and let others come to you to help you and walk through you in the storms. So take heart. When your life gets stormy, and look around for the people God places in your life. He put them there because he loves you and because he knows you can't make it on your own. Like it or not, we need each other. And God will not abandon us or leave us alone. It has happened to me many times in my life that God has put the right people at the right place at the right time. Because the storms of life are not meant to be weathered alone. And you're foolish if you try to do it on your own. It has nothing to do with how great we are, but how great God is. The mark of a great Christian, a great disciple of Jesus Christ, is the level at which we recognize the need for God and depends upon God in every area of life. Simply put, it is a life of faith, and apart from faith, we cannot please God. Our problems come because we don't depend on God. We try to live independent from God. Not just our sinful choices, but we are trying to live good lives independent of God. And we fall short for His best for us. We get anxious when we're going through a storm. We get stressed. We become discomfort. We become so anxious that we don't know what to do. But listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says, not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we wonder if life can get better for us. It can. It can in Christ. Christ is the person who can make things right when things go wrong. Christ can make all things better. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the deal of the century. I hope you're ready for the storms when it comes. I didn't say if it comes, but when it comes. Every one of us will go through a storm in our life. And when they come, I hope you can ask, seek, and knock for God's help instead of relying on yourself to go through the storm. And that's exactly what I learned when I went through my storm. I can sum everything up like this. When the storm hit my life, I thought I could do it all on my own. However, when the storm hit my life, I learned that I couldn't do it on my own. I learned to ask for Jesus' help. I asked Him to come into my life and to take control of the storm and to take control of my life. And by asking Him, and I started seeking Him, I started putting my trust in Him, started reading the Bible, I started obeying Him, and I found out that Jesus is there in the good and bad times. I also learned to knock on God's door so He can open doors to see me through the storm. When the storm comes, you must remember to put your faith in Jesus, because He will help you through tough times. He will help you put your life back together, strengthen you and encourage you along the way. And finally, you must remember this. Ask, seek, and knock during the storm by putting your faith in Jesus, because Jesus always remains. If you have your Bibles, if you go ahead to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. This is what it says. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's why we celebrate communion. To be reminded that even though we go through storms and tribulation is alive, Jesus gave His life so that we could live. Jesus said, this is my body. This is my cup. And it's my blood. It is given for you. And therefore, as often as you do it, remember me. Father, I want to thank you today for this reminder that even though we go through storms and tribulations, you gave your life so that we could live. And during those times, you tell us that we can come, ask, seek, and knock at your door during those times. It's almost unbelievable, and yet we have learned that we can ask, seek, and knock in Christ. We learned that nothing is impossible for you, and that relationship has been open for all of us. Father, as we break this bread today, we ask that you meet with us. Help us to remember. We pray that people without Jesus will ask to come to know you today, and that they may be saved, yielding their hearts and having you come to live in them. We're praying that those who are going through storm in their lives will ask for your help, and with your help, call upon your name to get rid of all those things that are destroying their relationship with you. And I pray, Father, that you help all of them to be encouraged and blessed in this time of intimacy together. Lord, have your way with us. You open the way. Now, help us to walk with you in it. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.